already chapter 2 of 1 Kings. And here we have lessons to learn. Great lessons to learn as we see the life of this great man, great king, David, is finishing. And a new chapter is being opened up. Well, with every blessings for us to enjoy requires really strength, requires determinations to see to it that all that God is planning for us to come forth. That is what really great men of God have grasped as a principle. We have seen this with Moses when he was dying. He admonished and he gave a charge to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 in particular. He said to him, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Just take those words and see the charge also David is giving his sons. He said to his sons, verse 2, chapter 1, chapter 2, "I am about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go." And that the Lord, you see, it's just like word for word, isn't it? It's just word for word. And exactly the same thing also, even in the New Testament. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2, that Don read to us, really contains similar words. This is an Apostle Paul, great man of God, charging his younger disciples. And he called him son. We had David with his physical son, you see. And also Joshua, my Arabic Bible said he was ghulam. That means a boy who was serving Moses. Virtually, in Semitic language, was his son that was serving him. So Apostle Paul here says, writes to Timothy, says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men." Now, what is the things? This charge is the continuation of God's work. God is God of redemption. He's God who is ruling, and he's ruling through people, human beings. People like you and I. He wants to show his blessing. He's God who blesses his own people. And that is why we are here today, because of God's blessings and his promises, saying that if we obey him, he will be with us and he will show us more and more. Jesus says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And here, this is the story of David. David was raised up by God to lead his own people. And even with all the mistakes and all the sins he was caught up in, and yet he was still an instrument in God's hand. That is why I said our study of Kings should be really titled Grace, From Grace to Grace, From Grace to Grace. And we see here God's really character, God's ways of doing things. And he requires that people be strong and show yourself a man. And charge always, and charge in English language, I think, is in all English, means to load or to put a burden on or fill with something to be retained. You see, so he was charging Solomon to retain all the things that he was telling him, so that he might be the person sitting on the throne of the kingship, of the kingdom, representing God himself. Like David, he was the king over Israel. But actually, the true kings of Israel is God himself. And yet he allows this. And even today, that is why we have in 1 Peter, we have the authority and the order of things. He says it's God of order. Even through instruments like us, even we read from Jeremiah 18, being clay. Sometimes you look at yourself and you say, can something good really come out of me? Yes, something can come out of you. Something wonderful that can bring glory to God. And that is why God's people are required to be strong so that they can carry on that what God's want to do. Now, first for us, and secondly for others. That is the structure of the charge here. So the first thing is for Solomon. Solomon, be strong. Solomon, show yourself a man. Show yourself a person that is on a mission, isn't it? And Jesus said, we are his followers. We are his witnesses. And so we have to show ourselves as people who are on a mission. And after all, God has promised that he will be with us if we are only strong and position ourselves to receive from him and delight in him. He will turn our weakness into his strength, our failure into success, unbelief into faith, unstoppable, mourning into rejoicing and dancing, isn't it? Just dancing. Because God is able to do these things because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has opened the doors of heaven for us. If we are willing to be true, willing to face our sins and mistakes, like David himself, he didn't run away and say, oh, it's finished. I mucked it up terribly. One of the things I lament over the 24 years in this country is the declaration of great men of God supposed to be our leaders. They will say, oh, I wouldn't want to have a heart like heart of David because David fell in sin. So it's not by grace. It's by your effort to keep yourself clean from anything, as if that is what will make you glorious before God. It is his mercy and grace. He picks us up. Is the grace that is so sufficient, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are not to make even a slight mistake, that we can do anything without him and without his grace. If there is any glory, it's his. Every virtue we possess, the writer of the songs, are his alone. And we as Christians, if we are ever going to turn the world upside down, or even our situations, even our relationship we heard of this morning, is to look to Jesus and all that he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. That is why the charge first is to address the spiritual need of this man who is going to lead a great nation. A great nation. The 12 tribes are not, we are not even talking about them as yet. Maybe we finished. In Genesis, the 12 tribes are already born, isn't it? And David is a descendant already. Well, he was charged to observe what the Lord requires. What the Lord requires as it is given to us in the law of Moses. So what is the law requires? You will see here that he's going to write, walk in his ways. Observe what the Lord your God requires. And then he is giving us clue. What is the things that the Lord is requiring of Solomon, of us all today, to walk in his way, to walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands. To walk in his ways. What are the ways of God? Well, I was having really a Bible study with my children yesterday. I think that was yesterday or early this morning. And we were talking about, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then I said to Noah, how do you explain this? How do you hide the word of God in your heart that you may not sin against him? And he said, if I have love in my heart, I will show love to others. See, I thought that was really brilliant. That was amazing. You see, so you don't show sin, but love. By not showing love is sinning, isn't it? That we have not retained. So we are called, Solomon was called to walk in God's ways. The ways of holiness, the way of truthfulness, the ways of faith, of purity, these are God's ways. God's ways are so clear. And then we see that in Psalm 1. I think we will finish with that. That will sum up all that we talked about. So the first things, his spiritual needs really are to be satisfied. So he needs to keep watch of his soul. Because he is going to lead a big nation. And he will require a lot of wisdoms that he can only gain as he walks with God. And it's the same for us today. There is no way for us to persevere and to overcome unless we walk in the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him. To follow him in his love, his gentleness, humility, and his truthfulness also. And his rest, he rests in his Father's promises. You see, he did that, and he showed us the way to walk with God and to keep decrees. God decrees and commands that he has commands his people to follow. His laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses. You see, there are orders. We can take the five books of Moses and read them through. And we see how God instructed his own people how to live, isn't it? He instructed them. And the Old Testament is for us to use also, to apply it. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we are the people to apply it. And that is why the New Testament should be the believers, should be the best people who can understand the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament people, they were looking to the New Testament time. They look at those times. The New Testament believers will find it so easy, you see, because of the work of Christ. Well, this man, he was told, look, watch over your spiritual life. Do that. Because now he will give him, follow the terms of his covenant so that you might prosper in everything you do. That's Deuteronomy 29. So always the God's people are asked to follow the Lord and to keep the these decrees, because these are the provision for the covenant that God has made with his own people. And that is why, because God is God who delights in us succeeding, isn't it? Someone said, I think that was this morning, isn't it? I think Michael said to someone, to be great is to be the last in marathon, maybe. So, should I ask you to be the last in marathon or something like that? Well, God is a God who wants us always to succeed, to prosper. You see, the enemy is the one who doesn't want us to prosper, isn't it? The devil is Satan. Yeah, you see, he hates us succeeding in everything. He doesn't like our relationships, and that will be the sermon I will deliver next in 2 weeks' time by God's grace. Live in harmony with one another, isn't it? Who doesn't want us to live in harmony? If we live in harmony, he is in trouble. You see, he will be in trouble. Because we will be rejoicing because of the love we have for one another, becoming medicine for one another, isn't it? Bearing each other's burdens. That, why I'm saying this? Because the reason, the purpose for the obedience is for God to bless us. That is why he says here, so that is a purpose clause. So you keep God's decrees and commands and walk in his ways and follow his laws and requirements as it is written in the book of Moses, so that you prosper in all you do. So even if it's a hard thing, some people think like being a pastor is just an easy job, isn't it? It's better to work in a factory. And I say, in fact, I will prefer to work in a factory because after all, that would be a gym to me, isn't it? So I will have like my muscle very strong. You see, this time we are just faced with losing our muscles and also losing it altogether here as you pray and study the word and want to do to see God's people blessed. It's not an easy job. But in all these things, whether it's a factory job or whether it's a Christian ministry, if we walk in God's ways, we will prosper. We will succeed in all that we do, hard or light. In fact, it's good that we are succeeding because God is blessing us. We'll be better. So that you may prosper in all you do. You will prosper. Part of our struggles in our relationships and also even our ministries and our jobs is when we want to follow our own ways, not the ways of the Lord. It will be very difficult. Even writing an essay can be very difficult. I used to experience those things, but when I pray and I seek the Lord and I pray, so you can just like the thoughts will come easily. You get high distinction. Hey, this is God who will prosper. And other times, not easy. When you are grumbling and also just making mistakes, getting distracted. You see, so it's happened like that. Well, God is a God who delights in us succeeding and prospering. You see, this is not a prosperity gospel, isn't it? Have a lot of money, and why not? Why not? Whatever we have from the Lord, you see, is the one who has caused us to prosper because he is the one who is giving us this if we are his own people and walk in his own way. But if we are using other means and ways that are not of God, certainly we will be found out and things will be exposed, really. And even businesses will just collapse that are built not on firm foundations. Marriages that are just built on a rocky, on a slippery ground, not based on love, like what we heard this morning. Love and rest in who God has made you, a man or a woman, because that is he is a master. He could have made you a man or a woman, the other way around. I like what I heard this morning about even women being described as the weakest in the relationship. Yet that was really God setting the standard to challenge men. That was amazing. Well, God is God who wants us to succeed in our marriages, in our leadership, in our homes, and also in the ministries we carry out and everything we do. God wants us. But first, we need to watch over our souls. We need to love him with all our hearts. We need to create time to sit before him. Take break from job and work and just go. And take your Bible and pray. Spend 3 days. Lose some money. You will gain thousands of talents. You will be built up in your spiritual walk with God. And you will come back and you will even make up really wish that is lost. Because of the time you spend out, you come rejoicing. Teresa is a member of our church. She went to Kenya for 2 months. She hasn't been working for 2 months. And all that she was doing there is praying, going to mission with friends. She came back. She declared before us that she didn't want to come back to this place. You don't love us? No, because she was so free to follow the Lord and to serve him. She has a mortgage, but she prepared herself. She's a very wise lady. She knew that she was not going to lose her house. You see, that's fine. But maybe she lost money worth of 2 months' wages. Oh, can we do that? But now she gains not only spiritual blessings, but even physically. No pain, she said, and just emotionally, mentally, she's just so fit. Because she made that decision to just not to think so much about the things of this world. Yeah, well, when I got married in 2004, I had a job here, and so I was there and I, with my new wife, and then I was like trying to come back in that time, but it was not practical, it was not working. And I was just in great anxiety. But I prayed, and then I just let go, And I had tremendous peace. And I stayed with my wife, and God looked after us for another 2 months or three. Well, first things first, and then prosperity and success. Well, I say this as a way of really illustrating all these things. Back in South Sudan, when we were leaving, as young people, even young boys who were really very respectful, they were respected by a lot of families who had girls. Because they could see you, a very respectful young person. And also even the girls, they were really beautiful and honest, and they were just like pure. They were also respected by people in the community. And I think if you follow the Lord, whether you are a single woman or a single man, and you love the Lord and you keep yourself pure for the Lord, that you are setting yourself up for prosperity and blessings. But if you want to just like enjoy the moments and then you forfeit the greatest blessings that are going to come ahead of you. The same thing for anything that we want to believe in the ministry. We can build a career even in ministry, or we can be respectful or respected pastors and preachers and teachers of the law, of the word of God, if we are not walking closely with God and enjoying Him, not for any recognition, because people really, they can be distorted because they are not recognized by anyone. Why would you want this? All that you need is the Lord Himself, His approval. When He says yes, who can say no? You see? And when He comes one day and He invites you and He welcomes you in heavens, I say, well and faithful servant. Well done. So that is what we should be aiming at and focusing on. And now David, as a man of God, against those people who would think like, oh, because he did those things. But this man is a man of God, David, because he knew that it is by grace and grace alone. And now he charges his son and he wants him to succeed. And that the Lord also, that is a family. This is what I call generational blessings. Generational blessings. You see? So here, this man is showing his sons the way of blessings. And also the blessing of the whole family. And also assuring that God has promised to the family will continue. And the blessings is double for the family and for the nations of Israel, for God's people. That is why he says to him in verse 4, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. God has promised him. I think 7 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7, 25, really contains that what this man is talking about, David. Then the king David went and sat before the Lord, and he said, whom am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with men, with man? This is grace, isn't it, O sovereign Lord? I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 18. And now I'm reading verse 10, verse 20. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done these great things and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people whom you have redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever. And you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. You see? And now David is again assuring his son that God has promised us. And if you do this, you will be the beginning of the blessings. And then actually you will pass on this. Well, let me keep moving quickly. Now he just gave this first part, a charge. He charged him for his personal blessings and the family. And now he is moving to second things. The second thing, now you yourself know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two commanders of Israel's armies, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He killed them, shedding their blood in peace, in peacetime, as if in battle, and with that blood stained the belt around his waist and the sandals on his heel. Deal with him according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to the grave in peace. Now he is moving to instruct him to carry out God's judgment. That is the thing. He is an instrument of blessings and also an instrument of judgments in God's hand. You see? It is not up to David. Even though he deferred the judgments of God, he didn't take it upon himself. But he was aware that God had determined to judge these people. And so, as a man of God, again, he wants his son to carry out God's judgments against these people who were acting not in obedience to God and not following God and his word. They were not following instructions of God that you should not kill anyone in time of peace. Even if they have done something wrong to you. The Gibeonites, Saul came to kill, isn't it? Saul killed them. They made a mistake. They cheated God's people, Joshua, when they were coming to the land and wiping out the nations they were instructed to wipe out. And yet they lied. They were wearing like all clothing. They said, we were coming from very far. And so they were preserved and not killed. And they entered into a treaty. But Saul came and killed them. Well, God really respect treaties. And now David, he said he didn't want to kill them. He swore by God. And yet now he tells this man. And then for you to know that David is a man of God. Also, he was not saying, I am the greatest of all. Even he was saying to his son, deal with them according to your wisdom. As if he knew that Solomon, he charged him to walk in God's ways. He needs wisdom. And Solomon will ask for wisdom. And now David is saying, even beforehand, deal with them according to your wisdom. And wisdom that comes from God is consistent, isn't it? It's a God who judges. He will judge sin. And now he says to him, don't forget this man, Joab. Because what he did, actually he did it against God's people. These men, Abner, son of Ner, he was a commander in the army, but he went with Absalom. So he joined with Absalom, and really they fought David. But even with that, David was aware that these men, they fought in the past the war for God's people. They were not doing all that they were doing for themselves. They were instruments in God's hands, and they were under prophets and godly kings. And they were really submitting to God's word. They were men of God. Even when they joined with this man, with Absalom, who was like trying to take the power from his father. Well, David himself, he knew all Israel were under sin also. They were chosen by God, by God's grace, and they could get it wrong all the time if their king could make all these great mistakes. And so David is not justifying himself before the Israel. He wasn't saying, I'm the greatest. Even Abner, son of Ner, joined with with Absalom. King David is still, he was a man of God who could discern and would go against his desires and his feelings. That is why there is a great lesson for us here. Even when people differ with us, let us not destroy them completely, especially when they are God's people, with whom we have enjoyed great fellowship and blessings. Maybe at some stage they pour out their lives for us. But now they have differed with us for some reasons. Maybe for their wrongs and their pursuit for their own interests or even yourself. But after all, God is a judge, isn't it? We should not take things to our hands. We are only God's people living by his grace. And we should give more space to that. And maybe withdraw completely from the picture if that is going to cause troubles, if that is going to let you harm your brother. That is why this man, he lamented. Because Joab, Abner's son, Abner killed his brother, Joab, this commander. When he was fighting on David's side, and Abner's son, Abner, on Solomon, on Absalom, they were fighting. And his brother was killed. And now after the peace agreement, really this man, he revenged. He killed this great man of God. And David is saying, there are rules in Israel. You should not shed blood in time of peace. A blood that's supposed to be shed in time of war. You see? Well, I tell you, like, when I was growing up really in South Sudan, I heard a lot of great, great stories. You see, things have just fallen apart in the last 30 years because we are getting closer to the coming of Christ, isn't it? Sin will just, like, there will be no more come on grace, isn't it? The come on grace will be removed. And as if that is a result now, even in my homeland, South Sudan. But when I was growing up, they were, like, really lost. That people were observing. The borders of your field, you cannot move an inch. You cannot just move it an inch. That is immoral. You cannot do that. If your cow got lost and you have a lost cow within your cattle, you cannot take a rope and tie them down as if it's yours. They will be loose like that. Is a declaration that is not yours. And also in wars, there are conventional weapons of war, even in among those primitives. They use certain weapons. You cannot use what people are not using. Even you cannot use it against your enemies. So what happens, like the newer people were warring with Morlaix people, and so the Morlaix killed some of the newer. And so from one family, and there were some warriors, that family, especially in the Nuer, they were warriors. So they said, three of them, they said they are going to attack the village of Morlaix. They went there, and then so they burned down some homes and some elderly people there, and there were few children. And so what happened, the chief of that tribe, really in a daytime, came all the way to speak to the chief of the Nuer area. They say, your people have used unconventional weapons of war. And so this man said, well, I will investigate that. And so there was a great meeting. And so these three men were found guilty. And two of them were hanged by their own very people because they have broken the rules. Just look at that. Even people who didn't have much light. So they knew that there is God. And you cannot just legislate for yourself and do things like that. So King David wants his son to carry out God's judgments. And so he told him, be a man of wisdom, because you will judge for yourself, but my advice is this man should pay for all the evil he has done. And also there is a blessing, and that is what I'm going to finish with. There will be a blessing also, but he says, but show kindness to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead. And let them be among those who eat at your table. They stood by me when I fled from your brother Absalom. They comforted him. They were with him in his need and his weakness. They showed him kindness. They served him. And even he is no more, he asked his son, "You should not forget these people." There are people in our lives we should never try, even dare to forget. Even maybe a high school friend who was just so kind to you and would invite you to come to their house, maybe have a cool drink, maybe even do your hair, or even to do all sorts of things good for you. You see, or even to ask his father to drop you at your place, maybe 3 hours or 4 hours drive. Well, I tell you a story that I heard. It was so funny. It was just like too good to believe. I heard of this wealthy young woman. She was rushing to register for a course, and then she took a rickshaw, like this, that small vehicle, with this poor young man who was just working there, and just to discover that she doesn't have the money, that she didn't have the money with on her, and the door was going to be closed soon. And then this young man said, "Look, I do have 3,000 here. You go and pay them, and so whenever you go home, and then maybe you can bring this money." And then this girl said, "Okay." And then she went. No telephone contacts, nothing. And she paid, and then that's fine. And she went home. She told her family that this is what had happened, because they got a lot of money. But this guy, he changed his location completely once and for all. He was not coming to that area. He moved somewhere else, and he was working there with his tuk-tuk or rickshaw. And the family, they were turning the world upside down, trying to find this young man who has shown kindness to their daughter. And the father was just day and night wanting to just really, if they could find this young man. He has shown something no one ever could show. Well, you know the end of the history. And then many months later, they found out. And then they wondered why you didn't want to. Say, "Well, look, it didn't matter. I just did that and did one." And he fell in love with, the girl fell in love with this young man. And then she went to her father and said, "Yeah, this man is poor, but I don't think I will ever find a man like this." And her father said, "I don't think there will be any man like this for my daughter." And happy marriage. So they got married. See? Just like that. So he showed kindness. And I think it's something like this. David is saying, look, these things, they were not coincidence. They were ordained by God. And we are to honor these things. And we are to pay attention. You, my son, as a part of a family legacy, like this girl, now she brought into their family a blessed man and to be part of the family. Well, Barzillai of Gilead and his family, they became part of David's family, and they received all the blessings that house of David are going to receive. You see, when you are blessed by a man of God, you have become part of the blessings. You see? You become part of the family blessings. You see? It's just like my brothers-in-law who got married to my sisters. So now they inherit all my brothers as brothers-in-law, isn't it? All of them are tall, 6 men. You see, if there is a war, we stand by them. And the good thing also in our family, we don't encourage divorces, and our sisters don't come and complain to us. Say, no, all of us, you are given away. That's it. You have to stay, obey, and abide. Yeah, this is amazing. This is wonderful. They stood by me when I fled. Never to forget those who stood by our side. Those who spoke to us. Good words. Some people spend 4 hours, 6 hours doing something for us. How about that? Just doing something just for our blessings. And the blessings also should go back. And remember, you have with you Shemaiah, sons of Gera, the Benjamite, from Bahurim, who called down bitter curses on me the day I went to Mahanaim. So this man also is going to really to be punished for that. because God is punishing him. And that is why we are to be careful. We are told not to pay evil for evil. And so now we've seen there is a need for us to walk with God, and there is a need for us to carry out God's blessings, and also like to carry God's judgment as well, and not to really stand by people who are deliberately standing against God. They cannot be our friends. We may pray for them, but we are not ever to help them out to continue to do the evil things. But those who assist us, we shall help. Here, we see something similar. Apostle Paul is charging Timothy, and he told him, like, to be strong, and you carry out the work of God. We might not be kings like Solomon's, but we are called to pass on all that we have learned from the Lord. That is what really Paul is doing here. You as a man of God, a teacher of the word, please, and you pass on the things I have heard, things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others and endure hardship. There is endurance in warfare. As we have seen it in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, we are to endure as good soldiers. This man is a king, King David, you see, and a King Solomon. You see, they went through a lot, and we are to endure, and we are good soldiers. And Paul, Apostle Paul also, he calls Christians as soldiers. Now, one serving as a soldier, so he likened us to soldier in readiness training, and war and battles, and also athlete, hard training, and farmer in waiting and patience. These are pictures given to Christians. You see, this could have been the pictures of Solomon being the king of Israel. Well, look, let me finish here to say to us that really this history is a history of grace and grace and grace alone. And we all need to walk with God like Solomon. He needed to walk with God to be able to succeed. Well, rule is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. If we are ever going to make any impact or any change, you see, we are to walk in God's way. We are to follow him that we may succeed in all that we need to do. You see, even in the ministry, you need anointing. You cannot do it without anointing. It won't go anywhere. We need anointings. Well, let us wait and see how Solomon will assume, and his, we are told that God will establish, God is establishing his kingdom. We have inclusia. That means there is a verse, we say that, and God established, that is verse 14, verse 12, that God established his kingdom. And verse also 46 affirms that God has established. May the Lord establish us in all that we do. May the Lord encourage us to follow him. Before we look into success and prosperity, we are to do our homework first, to pray and to repent of our sins and to put things right and to clear all our ways from thorns and arguments and judgments and things that really will hinder the blessings of God from coming. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus and to be like this man who has been charged, to fix our eyes on Jesus, and to have ears, our ears opened, really to hear the Lord and to carry out all that he is telling us to do. Let us pray.